In the name of Jesus, who has sought you and found you, the word of God that we will hear today, the gospel of our Savior, recorded in Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who needs to repent than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These are the words of Jesus. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who has found us, dear fellow sheep belonging to him. It was Christmas 1999. I had worked my way through most of my presents, and there was one gift that was still left waiting for me. It was in a small box. But as they say, good things often come in small packages. I unwrapped the box. I opened it up. And I was amazed at what was inside. No, it wasn't jewelry. It was something far more precious to me than that. It was a gift certificate for the best bowling pro shop in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was excited. At that time, I lived in this place called Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And you need to understand that Milwaukee, Wisconsin is one of the bowling capitals of the world. I not only had a residence in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I attended college in a place called New Ulm, Minnesota. Now, if you haven't been there, there's not a whole lot to do in New Ulm, Minnesota, in the middle of the winter. But one thing that helped me keep my sanity during those long Minnesota winters was the Martin Luther College Intramural Bowling League, which met every Friday afternoon at a lovely place called the Kegel Club. And that end-of-week bowling helped me make it through those cold winter days. And now I had in my hands the gift certificate that would allow me to go to the best pro shop in Milwaukee to get a brand new bowling ball that would be perfectly drilled and fitted to fit my fingers. And I would return after Christmas break to the Intramural Bowling League in New Ulm, and I would have a weapon in my hands that would bring glory. In the depth of winter, I was so excited. But then in the next day, something happened that shattered my joy. The next morning, I went to my pile of presents to pick up my gift certificate and head to the bowling pro shop. And the gift certificate wasn't there. And I started searching. I started looking. It wasn't with any of my presents. And I started searching and looking throughout my home. And I got my mother and father to look as well. And we looked in every floor of our house, in every corner. We couldn't find it. And then an idea came upon me that did not feel too good. We all realized, you know what might have happened? When we were cleaning up all the tissue and all that stuff after Christmas gift opening, perhaps this little handwritten white gift certificate got swept up in everything else and it got thrown in the garbage. And we didn't have a copy of the receipt. We didn't have a copy of it. This was it. It was handwritten by the guy who owned the bowling pro shop. If we lost it, that was it. It was gone. So I walked outside and I took a massive black garbage bag out of the garbage container where it was waiting to be picked up and I put it on the ground. And then I had a decision to make. Is it worth it? I didn't know if the gift certificate was going to be in there or not. And if I ripped open that bag and started looking in, it was going to be messy. You see, not only was there wrapping paper in that bag, there were half-eaten chicken wings and meatball fragments from the Christmas celebration. There was the mostly empty jar of pickled herring. Used Kleenexes. I won't go on anymore. And it was going to be messy, and it might not even be in there. And I stood before that bag of garbage, and I had to think, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I think it's a question that Jesus would like us to ask this morning. As we hear these two stories about people looking for something that they have lost. A woman looking for a coin. A shepherd looking for sheep. Is it worth it? The effort it's going to take to try to find what's missing. Listen to his words again, the shepherd and the sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Is it worth it? That was a question that was asked 15 years ago on this day. We celebrate today, obviously, the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And a man who had to ask that question in a very deep and meaningful way was a 24-year-old who was working in the South Tower of the World Trade Center. His name was Wells Crowther. When the first plane hit the building, he calmly left a voicemail, "Mom, this is Wells. I want you to know that I'm okay." Crowther was an equities trader at Sandler O'Neill and Partners on the 104th floor. But when he was a teenager, he had served as a volunteer fighter. Wells began to make his way down the building. He could get out. He could leave. He could exit. He would have time to do that. And if he did, no one would blame him. But he didn't exit. In the 78th floor sky lobby, he took out a red bandana that he was often known for carrying. He was known carrying this. He put it around him to try to get some of the smoke and debris out of his face, and he began to direct others to safety. He got a number of people in place, and he could have left the building. But he decided not to do that. And he decided to go and save whoever he could, one by one. Walking right back into danger in a building that was on fire that could collapse and take his life at any time. One of the most amazing rescues that he performed that day was of a woman who could not walk. He found this woman and he put her on his back. He carried her on his shoulders, and he carried her 15 floors down to safety. And then he went back again. His body was eventually found alongside many other firefighters in a stairwell. It appears they were heading back up with the jaws of life rescue tool to try to rescue a few more before it all came crumbling down. He saved at least a dozen people personally that day, and maybe many more as he directed them. Was it worth it? For Wells Crowther, the answer was yes. Is it worth it for a shepherd to leave 99 sheep and go looking for one? That's the rescue mission story that Jesus tells in the first part of this text. This shepherd is an open country. That's what it said in the text. And open country is not a safe place to be. It's not safe for the sheep. It's not really safe for the shepherd either. Open country is where thieves can be, where predators can be. It's where water sometimes is not. It's a place you can lose your way. You don't want to be in open country for too long. And I'm not in the sheep business, but I know we have some pretty business-savvy people in this congregation. What do you think? Leave 99 to go looking for what? I don't know if I would do that. Maybe I'd say, you know, 99% is not bad. One sheep, it's a sheep. It's a sheep's own fault. It went wandering off. 1% loss? Isn't that kind of just the cost of doing business? And so the shepherd has to ask, is it worth it? And you know the story as Jesus tells it. He goes off. He goes looking for that sheep at great risk to his own life, at great distress to himself. He finds that sheep eventually, and that sheep doesn't go running back home like Lassie. He has to pick up the sheep, put it on his own shoulders and carry it across open country. And walking across open country isn't easy. It's hilly. It's not level. He's not mall walking here. This is hard. This is tough. And the shepherd says it's worth it. Is it worth it? Well, Jesus had to ask that question and answer it for himself. He was at the top of all things, in a heavenly tower, so to speak, in a heavenly mansion. Is it worth it to leave that, to come here to rescue lost sheep? He said yes. And so what did he do? He stood before the garbage heap of this broken and sin-sick world, and he plunged into it. Notice at the beginning of our text today, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. And that word sinners, it's parentheses in your text. That means all flavor of sin, the really big and juicy ones. These were people that your mother would not want you to date or marry. These were people that you would not want to come into your home. You'd lock up a few things first. These are people you would walk by on the other side of the street, probably. This was the refuse of the world, the garbage of the world. And Jesus said, "Here I am. I've come for you." And then Jesus stood not before a burning building, but before a cross. Well, he stumbled before that cross as he tried to carry the upper beam of it. And as he went to that cross, he didn't wear a red bandana. But before that, he had worn a crown of thorns that made red blood pour down his face. Why did he do that? Because of you. And because of me. He knew you before you were ever born, and he thought of you when he died. He looked at us, lost sheep, that have wandered on our own ways out into open country, who have rolled around in the garbage heap of our own sins, lost sheep who don't even like themselves very much at times, and he said, I love you. And so he gave it all. And on that cross, he rescued you from the greatest terrorist attack that has ever come into this world. He plucked you from the jaws of sin, death, hell, and the devil, and said, you belong to me now. You're mine. You belong to my flock. I bleed all over all of your sins. I forgive you, and I rise again from the dead to guarantee that you will be with me, not in open country, but in a pasture land of heaven, where death will not even touch you again. And he was happy to do it. Oh, he suffered, but he rejoiced when he found you. And when he used all of history so that you would somehow hear the word of God, that the Holy Spirit would come into your heart and allow you to believe in him. He rejoices. Did you see what it said in the text? There's rejoicing in heaven. When you came to faith, there was a celebration in heaven. God is excited that you're part of his family, that he found you. And that excitement over you comes out in the second story that Jesus tells, where he says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Okay, be honest. When you're walking along the street or in the grocery store and you already know you're late, and you see a penny lying on the ground, do you stoop down to pick it up? A penny saved is a penny earned. Or do you sometimes walk right by? Because it's a penny? Because you're late? Because who can be burdened with carrying change around in their pocket anyways? I mean, come on. My son doesn't do that. My newly turned 8-year-old son. When we go through the checkout lines at a grocery store, he splays out on all fours, looking for change that people have dropped near the cash register. And he does it unashamedly and unembarrassed. Searching, searching, looking, 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 and everyone's going, what's wrong with that kid? I go, he's looking for change. But what I'm amazed is how much he has found. One by one, one coin at a time, one coin at a time, one coin at a time, he's collected all these coins, and he has a pretty nice collection at home. I'm getting a little jealous, actually. And he's found coins from all over the world, especially by the money exchange machine in the grocery store. He has found coins from every nation, tribe, and language, from every continent, I think, in this earth. It's amazing. One by one, he finds them, and he looks for them, and it's worth it to him. And that's a little bit of the picture here, too. God says people come into his kingdom, they're found one by one, one soul at a time. Jesus reaches out and tries to rescue and tries to find. And in his design and in his plan, these souls, one at a time, come from all kinds of places, from every continent. And they're coming to him today. They're being found in China and Africa and Russia and America. One soul at a time, he reaches out and he finds them. And here's the amazing thing. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. In his plan, the front line rescue operation is going to be us, not the angels. And this is where it gets a little bit tough for us sometimes, and we might wonder, is it really worth it? And is it going to work? Oh, man. I mean, it just seems that people aren't always so excited to hear the word of God, and it doesn't really always seem to work, and it goes so slowly at times. Jesus says, do not be afraid. You know the answer that many are looking for right now. You're surrounded by people in your neighborhood, in your family maybe even, who are desperate and lost and searching, and they're smiling on the outside, but they have tried to find who they are and a meaning for this life and the idols of this world. And they have run after success and family. They've run after money. They've run after comforts. They've run after pleasures. And they've tried to define themselves by these things that have been burned by them. And they feel guilty about their sins, and they don't want to know what's coming after this life because they're scared. And you know. You know the Savior who loved them enough to go headlong into hell so that they can live into heaven. You know the Savior who says, "Come to me, you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you a rest that you're not going to get here." And he doesn't leave you alone. He gives you the most powerful tool ever. Not the jaws of life, but the Word of life. The Word of God that was powerful enough to break through your dead heart and mine too. The Word of God that was powerful enough to make the chief of sinners, that murderer of missionaries named Paul, to be into a missionary himself. You have the Word of God, and God's plan is that one by one, one soul at a time, sheep will be found, coins will be gathered, souls will be collected for his kingdom. And he says it will work in his own time, in his own ways. Will it be hard? Yes. Will it be messy at times? Yes. Will you always see tremendous numerical results? No, but he says it will work. It will work. The Word will work in Woodbridge. The Word will work in Fredericksburg. The Word will work in China and in Russia and in Africa, because God is behind that Word. Is it worth it? I remember once, a number of years ago, I was sitting in a little white church building that had no running water. It was a late Virginia summer day. If you don't know that, those can be warm. And the semi-functioning air conditioning was not functioning that day. This was at the church building we used to worship at. For the late service that day, by the time it was all done, there were 8 people in that little church building besides myself. I think there were 12 originally, but 4 had to use the restroom, so they went to the bathrooms at the Methodist church across the parking lot, and they never came back. After I said announcements and shook hands, it doesn't take that long to shake 8 hands, everyone was gone, and I sat down in my little pastor's chair by myself in that 101-degree little white church building, and I will admit, I said, "Is it worth it? What's going on?" 3 days later, I was having a Bible information class with someone, one-on-one, one soul at a time. And as I was plowing through the lesson, the person stopped me and said, wow, wait, Pastor, what? I'm forgiven. I get it. I'm forgiven. Jesus loves me. I've never gotten this all of my life. I'm forgiven. And it's not because of what I do. It's because of what he did. Ha! Is it worth it? Thank you, Lord, for reminding me that the answer is yes. One soul at a time. Okay. It's Christmas 1999. I'm staring before this huge heaping bag of trash in the driveway, and it is 8 degrees outside. And I said, "I'm going for it." And I ripped the bag open and I started looking, and it was not on the top layer. And it was not in the medium middle layer. Oh, there's the jar of pickled herring, and there's the pickled herring juice getting all over me. And there was a lot of junk in there, and it was getting all over me, and I was concerned that it was going to start to freeze on my body. And I looked like a fool to my neighbors. Looked like an oversized raccoon looking through the garbage. And I kept going and going, and my heart was sinking, thinking, this isn't going to be good. It's not here. And then I'm going to have this whole mess to clean up. And I was about ready to quit and go inside. And then there was this little white piece of paper that I saw at the bottom. And I picked it up and I realized there was a picture of a bowling ball on it. And I turned it over and it was the gift certificate. And I was happy. And I held it up and I started woo-hooing and rejoicing. I think I did a little dance out in the 8-degree cold weather, and my neighbors probably thought I was off my rocker. But what had been lost was found. And I had found it, and it was precious to me. And I rejoiced in it. That's how Jesus felt about saving you and feels about the fact that he's going to spend eternity with you in heaven. He rejoices over you, that you are his own, that you belong to him. And now he sends you and I out to be his rescue team to invite others to join in this celebration. Will it be messy? Yes. Will it always be easy? Will we always see great success in numbers? No. Is it worth it? For all of eternity, we will say yes. Amen.